This podcast is brought to you by Reasons to Believe. Reasons to Believe is a science faith think tank integrating modern scientific discoveries with truths of the Bible. Visit our website at reasons.org.
Welcome to Straight Thinking, a program that highlights the importance of the life of the Christian mind and seeks to evaluate critical issues in light of the historic Christian worldview. This is Joe Aguirre, your host, along with theologian and philosopher Kenneth Samples. Ken, last time you introduced a series around Easter time. Now we're a little bit past that time. A series of podcasts helping us to reason through the resurrection. As we noted last time, this doctrine usually comes under fire, well, all at all times of year, but especially at Easter time and springtime. You can see television programs and other specials that really take shots at the traditional understanding. So you're helping us to reason through the resurrection. And last time you introduced the topic by helping us to get the story straight. And on today's program, you're going to talk about what we mean by the resurrection. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. We're going to talk a little bit initially about the importance of defining and understanding and explaining the resurrection. And then we'll spend the bulk of the period talking about what the resurrection is and what it's not.
All right. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we want to make an important announcement, an exciting announcement. Ken, you're going to be going on a cruise. Did you know that?
I did know that. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
So is my wife, by the way.
Yes. RTB Cruise, August 8th through 15th. And we want to make sure you go on our website to get some details on that. So if you go to the homepage, you'll see an announcement there for the Alaska Cruise. This is a conference, and it's called the 7 Days of Creation. Ken, what give us a tease. What are the scholars going to be talking about?
Well, each of the scholars is going to be taking different days of the creation story. I, for example, am going to be concentrating on day 6 and 7. Hugh and Fuzz and Jeff and Dave are going to be looking at part of the early days of creation. And we're actually going to be presenting a lot of brand new material. These are talks that I don't think we've really actually given before. So it's going to be an interesting time and a great place in terms of Alaska to spend some time.
You can't beat the scenery. Again, this is August 8th through 15th. So is the idea that you're going to do one of these per day of the cruise?
That's right. There'll be plenty of time to sightsee during the day, and then there'll be talks in the evening. And so they'll get to hear all of our speakers.
All right. Make sure you take advantage of that opportunity to rub elbows with the scholars on this Alaska cruise. Again, the dates are August 8th through 15th, and I've seen pictures of it, and one of our staff members here has already gone on that cruise, and she's been raving about it all over the place. So make sure you go on our website, and you'll find all the information you need to know there. Okay, Ken, well, let's resume this discussion about the resurrection. And in fact, that very word, resurrection, that could be confusing to some people, and you're going to help us to define it.
Yeah, I want to talk just briefly about this idea of definitions. Joe, in one of the textbooks that I use, A Concise Introduction to Logic, when I teach courses in logic and critical thinking, one of the early chapters is on definitions, how we define certain things, what words mean. It really is important for us to be able to talk about the resurrection and talk about what the resurrection body consisted of, how it was different than certain other things. And so, again, in a similar way as to last time, we're trying to give clarity to what Christians have meant and what the New Testament means when we talk about the resurrection. And from a logical point of view, define your terms.
Yeah.
Explain what you mean is the idea.
Now, one of the things that comes to mind, at least for me, is maybe on a hospital operating table where a patient is considered dead and then they come back. Is that a resurrection or is that something else?
No, that's the kind of question exactly I think we want to be able to think about.
Okay.
And according to Scripture, the resurrection is not merely a coming back from the dead. It's not merely a resuscitation from the dead, nor is it something akin to a near-death experience where, you know, somebody comes, has a brush with death, comes very close to dying, but through medical treatment or something or other, they're able to survive death. No, Jesus was dead. This is also not reincarnation. I mean, reincarnation literally means to be put back in the flesh again after death. We have the doctrine of incarnation. Jesus comes in the flesh, God coming in the flesh. The idea here, Joe, is that reincarnation, an Eastern idea, does not equate with what we understand in terms of resurrection. And thus, let's pick it up here a little bit. Jesus was resurrected to a new type of human life, eternal life with a transformed, glorified physical body that is no longer subject to things like weakness, pain, sick, and death. In his resurrection, Jesus Christ fully and completely conquered death, and thus the implications that we'll look at a little bit later in this series for humanity concerning the resurrection are astounding. And we want to deal with some of those issues a little bit later. So the resurrection is not a resuscitation. It is not a near-death experience. It is not reincarnation. Jesus physically died, and in the resurrection, that same body transformed into a glorified human body.
So you're saying that it's not a spiritual body. It's that body, but transformed in some way.
That's right. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, who have a very different orientation of what the Bible means and who Jesus is, they reject the Trinity and the Incarnation, don't even believe that Jesus died on a cross, but a torture stake. They would say, for example, that Jesus rose spiritually, not bodily. So I think it's important for us to go through some of the biblical data and see why Christians believe that the same body that was crucified on Friday, on Good Friday, is the same body that rose from the dead on the first day of the week of Sunday, but yet it was also transformed. It was glorified.
Okay, well, let's hear about it.
Okay. Characteristics of Jesus' resurrected body can be cataloged. So that's what I'm going to do now. Jesus' resurrected body still bore the marks of the cross in his hands, feet, and side, John 20:20. His body could be seen and touched and handled, Matthew 28:9. So there is an empirical element in all of this. Jesus doesn't appear as some visionary element that cannot be observed or encountered with the five senses. To go further, his body could not only be seen, touched, and handled, but it was a body of flesh and bone, according to Matthew 24:37-9. In fact, Jesus says a phantom, because when people first saw Jesus, some thought, I've seen a ghost. I've seen a phantom. And Jesus corrects them and says, a phantom does not have flesh and bone, as you see me have. In fact, Jesus even invites people to handle and examine his body. This is in Luke 24:39-40, in John 20:20-27. And so Jesus sets forth his resurrected body so that it could be inspected, it could be examined. Jesus even ate and drank with his disciples after the resurrection. This is found in Luke 24:41-43, and in Acts 10:41. Jesus consumes a fish. Now, why would he do that? I think clearly because he was conveying to them that he was not a phantom. This was a real bodily experience that he was having. And of course, having a meal with someone, there was a unity of a connection with his disciples in all of that. Jesus' resurrection body was certainly material and physical in nature. Flesh, bone, could be handled, could be touched. Yet it had been transformed into a glorious, immortal, and imperishable body. Now, we can say that this resurrected body was clearly capable of things that ordinary mortal bodies are not. You know, for example, Jesus could appear and disappear in a closed room. There are a number of occasions where instead of walking up to the door and passing through the door, Jesus appears, materializes in a room that had been locked. So obviously, that resurrected body was the same physical body that had been crucified on Good Friday. Same body, had the marks of the cross, could be observed. People recognized him, but there was something changed about it. It was now immortal.
So you're saying that a body with flesh and bone, as you said, going through walls or doors, it's still a physical body, does have that flesh and bone, but in some way it's been transformed. It has some type of property that we just don't understand, but it still did have that flesh and bone. He was touched.
And that, I think, is really where we want to come to, Joe, in talking about this, that historic Christians would insist that there's both a continuity and a discontinuity between Jesus' body before the resurrection and his body after the resurrection. This is not a different body. It's the same body. Mm-hmm. There is a connection. It's the same body. It's still physical. It's still material. Yet, there's a discontinuity, meaning that it can no longer die. It also means that it had been transformed in that Jesus now has capacities and abilities that his earthly body did not have. Mm. And so we want to be able to emphasize that continuity and discontinuity, because if there's no continuity, then it's not the same body.
Right.
And if it's not the same body, then it's not literally a resurrected body from the dead. But we also don't want to convey that it didn't somehow change, because it did. Mm-hmm. And later on in the series, we'll talk a little bit about how we can anticipate that our bodies, you know, you get a little older, you feel the pains of growing older. The resurrected body is a body that is immortal, that is glorified, and that has remarkable changes.
Mm-hmm. Ken, a couple of questions. Did something further occur at the time of the ascension? Then there you have the resurrection, then you have an ascension. Did he just go up into heaven, or did another miracle happen at that time?
Well, I certainly think that we have a miraculous occurrence even in the ascension. But now Jesus has a body that has the capacity not only to experience earth, but also to live and dwell in the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
And so this glorified physical body, I mean, the scriptures also indicate, Joe, that when Jesus returns, we'll see him who they have pierced.
Yeah.
So Jesus has a physical body, and he remains human. Mm-hmm. He still has that human body, and that human body is now equipped both for the time-space world and also for this heavenly transcendental world.
Yeah. A couple of questions that my sharp 10-year-old might ask. Will we see scars in Jesus' hands or wrists then when we get to heaven?
Well, I think it is reasonable to conclude that when Jesus returns, he will still bear the marks of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It was in his resurrected body. The implication is that we will see the one who was pierced for us. So I think it is reasonable to conclude that when Jesus returns at his second coming, we will still see evidence of that crucified body.
Yeah. And then another question on the body. That my 10-year-old, because he likes food a lot, might say, will we be eating in heaven? Is Jesus eating and doing things that he might have done here, but just doing it better? Like, I don't know if you've seen the video, The Incredibles, you know, these supers.
Yes.
You know, they have these bodies that are able to do incredible things depending on which character they are. So is that kind of what Jesus is doing?
Well, certainly Jesus ate a fish after his resurrection. The Bible talks a lot about the feasts before God. I think the implication is that there will be an element that is tied to people coming together and celebrating. I'm hoping, though, that the Dodger dogs will be fat-free those kind of things. So heaven and the new creation will involve our bodies. God likes bodies. We are never fully human unless there is a union of our soul and our body. And so this will have physical, material implications connected to it.
Yeah. So the important point, I guess one of the important points, again, is to emphasize that the same body that went into the grave emerged from the grave.
Yes.
It's that same physical body.
Same physical body, and now has changes.
Yeah.
And Joe, everything that we've talked about in these first two podcasts, either getting the story straight, the resurrection scenario, or defining what a resurrection is, I have a chapter in Without a Doubt, chapter 10, where I look at all of these details. All of the key scriptural references are made. So that would be a very helpful place to begin studying the doctrine of the resurrection and the hope of the Christian faith.
Right. And we will get into that hope in future podcasts. On the next podcast, Ken, what are you going to talk about?
Well, there are times where skeptics, of course, say the resurrection is a miracle, and I don't take miracles to be true. I only follow the naturalist perspective of things, and so we're going to look a little bit at the evidence and some of the mistakes that I think naturalists make when they look at the resurrection.
Great. We'll look forward to it next time. Ken is the author of two award-winning books. He mentioned the one there, Without a Doubt, Answering the 20 Toughest Faith Questions. He's also author of A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. We highly recommend those books. This is Joe Aguirre with a reminder that the historic Christian faith involves knowledge and is compatible with reason. Thanks for listening, and join us for the next edition of Straight Thinking.
This podcast is made possible through support from individuals like you. To learn more about supporting Reasons to Believe, go to www.reasons.org/donate or call 800-482-7836.